Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 12. Word for word. Na, never. Ati, very much. Pasidati, become satisfied. Tata, as much as. Upachita, by pompous arrangement. Upacharai, with much a worshipable paraphernalia. Aradita, being worshipped. Suraganai, by the celestial demigods. Ridibarakamai, with hearts full of all sorts of material desires. Yat, that which. Sarva, all. Bhuta, living entities. Dayaya, to show them causeless mercy. Asat, non-devoting. Alabhyaya, not being achieved. Eka, one without a second. Nana, various. Janishu, in living entities. Avahita, perceived. Surit, well-wishing friend. Anta, within. Atma, supersoul. Translation, my lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul just to show your causeless mercy, and you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Translation, please repeat. My lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul just to show your causeless mercy. And you are the eternal well-wisher. But you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Purport. The demigods in the celestial heavenly planets, who are appointed administrators of the material affairs, are also devotees of the Lord. But at the same time, they have desires for material opulence and sense gratification. The Lord is so kind that he awards them all sorts of material happiness, more than they can desire, but he is not satisfied with them because they are not pure devotees. The Lord does not want any one of his innumerable sons, the living entities, to remain in the material world of threefold miseries, to perpetually suffer the material pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. The demigods in the heavenly planets, and many devotees on this planet also, want to remain in the material world as devotees of the Lord and take advantage of material happiness. They do so at a risk of falling down to the lower status of existence, and this makes the Lord dissatisfied with them. Pure devotees are not desirous of any material enjoyment, nor are they averse to it. They completely dovetail their desires with the desires of the Lord and perform nothing on their personal account. Arjuna is a good example. On his own sentiment, due to family affection, Arjuna did not want to fight, but finally, after hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he agreed to fight in the interests of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is very much satisfied with pure devotees Because they do not act for sense gratification, but only in terms of the Lord's desire. As Paramatma, or Supersoul, he is situated in everyone's heart, always giving everyone the chance of good counsel. Thus, everyone should take the opportunity and render transcendental loving service to him wholly and solely. The non-devotees, however, are neither like the demigods nor like the pure devotees, but are averse to the transcendental relationship with the Lord. They have revolted against the Lord and must perpetually undergo the reactions of their own activities. Bhagavad Gita 4.11 states, Yeyatam mam prapajyante tamstataiva bhijamyaham. Although the Lord is equally kind to every living being, the living beings, for their own part, are able to please the Lord to either a greater or lesser extent. Demigods are called Sakama devotees, or devotees with material desires in mind, while the pure devotees are called Nishkama devotees, because they have no desires for their personal interests. The Sakama devotees are self-interested because they do not think of others, and therefore they are not able to satisfy the Lord perfectly. Whereas the pure devotees take the missionary responsibility of turning non-devotees into devotees, and they are therefore able to satisfy the Lord more than the demigods. The Lord is unmindful of the non-devotees, and although he is sitting within everyone's heart as well-wisher and super-soul. However, he also gives them the chance to receive his mercy through his pure devotees who are engaged in missionary activities. Sometimes the Lord himself descends for missionary activities, as he did in the form of Lord Chaitanya, but mostly he sends his bona fide representatives, and thus he shows his causeless mercy toward the non-devotees. The Lord is so satisfied with his pure devotees that he wants to give them the credit for missionary success, although he could do the work personally. This is the sign of his satisfaction with his pure Nishkama devotees compared to the Sakama devotees. By such transcendental activities, the Lord simultaneously becomes free from the charge of partiality and exhibits his pleasure with the devotees. Now a question arises. The Lord is sitting in the hearts of non-devotees. Why are they not moved to become devotees? It may be answered that the stubborn non-devotees are like the barren land or alkaline field where no agricultural activities can be successful. As part and parcel of the Lord, every individual living entity has a minute quantity of independence, and by misuse of this minute independence, the non-devotees commit offence after offence to both the Lord and his pure devotees engaged in missionary work. As a result of such acts, they become as barren as an alkaline field where there is no strength to produce. Nati pasidati tato pachito pachare aradita sura gane riri bhara kama yatsarva bhuta dayayasat alapya yaiko nana janishka bhavita suri antaratma. My Lord, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, just to show your causeless mercy, and you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Lord Brahma is continuing his prayers and statements in regard to the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are not very much satisfied even by the worship of great demigods who worship. Now, we remember the story of King Indra, who was dissatisfied that the residents of Vrindavan didn't perform the Indra Puja as they were accustomed to every year, and little Krishna had talked them out of doing. He said that Krishna, whether in a little Krishna or Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all situations. So he detected some pride in Indra, and actually this whole Leela was arranged. And he convinced Nanda Maharaj to worship the Govardhana Hill and not perform the Indra Puja. So many of us, of course, we celebrate, and we know the Leela of Krishna's lifting the Govardhana hill, because Indra became angry that the residents of Vrindavan didn't perform the Indra Puja, so he called the Sambantaka clouds, the clouds that come for the pralaya, for the destruction of the universe. They pour incessant rain, non-stop, and he inundated the whole area and really tried to punish very severely the residents of Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and protected all the inhabitants they were underneath. And Lord Ananta, he sent Lord Ananta to go around, coil around on the outside, stop the water that was coming down from going underneath as well, so they were protected from the water coming in by Lord Ananta. And on the top, that water that was coming off the Govardhan hill, he sent his Sudarshan Chakra to dry up all the water, so no water came down that way either. So in so many ways, Krishna protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of King Indra. Later on, of course, when Indra saw that he was all his efforts were having no effect, he realized his wrongdoing, and Krishna, and he has counteracted all my arrangements to punish the residents of the Vrindavan, and he became very fearful, very fearful, and he desisted in with the rain and the thunder and the lightning and everything like that, and the wind and everything. And this was very severe. We can imagine, you know, just like someone has been in the hurricane or the cyclone, or very, very, even 100 times worse than that. Dark, windy, lightning, very, very fearful. But the residents of Vrindavan didn't feel a thing under the Govardhan hill. Everything was very peaceful, very blissful. They were engaging all sorts of pastimes. All sorts of pastimes. Is that the plumbing or something? So they didn't feel in, and actually it is said that underneath the hill they were there for 7 days. So 7 days, wasn't it? This Indra was, you know, like sending the hurricane, the cyclone. 7 days. Just imagine, you know, when we get the hurricane or the cyclone coming up north, they get a lot of cyclones, and then it comes over for a few hours or something like that, or in half a day or something, it can devastate the whole town. But you know, imagine 7 days of this, you know, 100 times worse. Category 155. I think they go up to the category 5, right? Category 5 is all right, that's like everyone runs away, right? Category 5. But this is like category 555 or something. And for 7 days. So they were under there blissful. No disturbance underneath the hill. And they were having pastimes, they were dancing, they were feasting, and they were looking at Krishna. They were doing all sorts of activities as if nothing was going on. It's another pastime that Krishna arranged. Oh, this is fun, this is enjoying. But meanwhile, on the top, everything was happening. But of course, Indra, as I said, Indra felt very afraid because he saw that all his effort, and so he desisted, and actually he realized his subordinate position, and Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God. So what to do? He went to Lord Brahma. When Indra stopped, Krishna came out and was inspecting everything, seeing what the damage was, everything like that, and he went to one place. So Indra was too afraid to approach Krishna directly to even give an apology or anything like that. He didn't know what Krishna would do, so he went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, "You take the Sarabi. Krishna's very fond of the cows. You go with her in the front, and then you go there first. So then Krishna sees the cow, and he'll be a bit more peaceful, more happy." I know in many temples, in Sri Rangam Temple, before the Mangalarti, they have nice music to wake Krishna, and with Shenai and all that type of thing. And then they bring an elephant, they bring a cow, then they bring an elephant. There's is very much, the Lord is very happy. You know, it's a big arrangement in the Sri Rangam temple. They bring like that. First they bring the cow, then they bring the elephant before the Mangala, just to wake up the Lord. So very, he feels very nice. So, but so that Lord Brahma said like that, maybe you should do like that. Don't go directly. So he did like that, and then he came forward and he bowed down before Krishna, and he made many apologies, many prayers to Krishna, and then he began to worship Krishna very with great paraphernalia and everything like that. Krishna, of course, instructed him, "Do not be overly proud of your position. You know, I detected some pride in you, so just to teach you a lesson, I arranged everything. But now you should know, even though you're the great Indra, still you are not the the supreme. You are subordinate to my will," and so on. So Krishna was preaching to Indra. And after Indra, we did the puja and everything with all opulent paraphernalia, he left. But then all the cowherd boys, and they came and picked up all the paraphernalia and started fanning Krishna and worshipping Krishna and playing like that. And so Krishna, it is said, Krishna enjoyed that more than the worship of Indra. Because they were spontaneously, with great love, his cowherd friends were worshipping him. Indra was worshipping in great awe and reverence with great pomp. And so Krishna accepted it, but he, you know, as is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada and by Lord Brahma himself, you are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods. So, I mean, of course, Indra was doing in an apologetic way, but in general, demigods, they perform big yajnas, have big ceremonies, and so on and so forth, and they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, Krishna accepts the worship, but he's not as much satisfied as when pure devotees are worshipping him, because that is out of spontaneous love. Just like Prabhupada says that, he gives the example of the big prime minister in his office, and then one big man had an appointment to come and see him. But he was waiting and waiting, and the secretary said, "Yes, just now you can go and see him." Then even after a long time, still he was waiting. Secretary kept telling him, "Just a little while, he's very busy at the moment." And just after a little while, so many hours he was waiting. So the secretary went out, and then the big industrialist thought, "What's he doing?" So he opened the door and just had a quick look inside what he's doing. And the prime minister was on all fours. He had his grandson on his back. And he was going around the floor like that with his grandson on the back. So he was enjoying. He's the big prime minister, had the big industrials waiting to see him, but he put him off for many hours because the grandson was there. The Prabhupada gives the example like that. So he enjoyed that more. He enjoyed that, playing with his grandson more than seeing the big industrials. But Krishna's like that, especially in Vrindavan, in Brajalila. He's like that. Brajalila is spontaneous love. It is the place where there's no rules. No, everything is spontaneous. No rules. Just like we have to go to school, we have to go to work, we have to go here. There are so many rules when we go in the car, there's so many rules to follow. Stop here, go there. You know, you have to do like this, you have to do like that. It's very formal. Our whole day is formal. Then when we come back in the evening, we go home, we relax. No one to tell us, do this, do that, do the other thing. We can do whatever we want. We go home. Now we're going home. We look forward to going home. We can just relax. So Vrindavan is like that for Krishna. Krishna can do anything. The devotees can do anything. He just relaxes. He enjoys. There's no rules. There's no formality. This is very spontaneous. This is Brajalila. In Dwarka, he enjoys, but it's a little bit more formal. So we understand the mood. Krishna enjoys because out of love is very spontaneous, is free, is very, and Krishna relaxes. So Krishna enjoys the love of his pure devotees, even it may appear very casual, it may appear sometimes that they are disrespectful to Krishna. Disrespectful. It was that story of Sanatan Goswami when he had the little Krishna. He used to worship him and he used to keep him in the tree. Like that. So Prabhupada never told us to keep Krishna in the tree or something like that. You worship him nicely in the temple. Sanatan Goswami had kept the, you know, in the tree, had little Krishna, and he was cooking very simply. He didn't have much. He was renounced. So whatever he could get, he would just cook. He used to make some chapatis just but dry because he didn't have anything. And not with butter or anything like that. And then he offered. Then Krishna spoke to him. You know, you're offering these chapatis, very dry, not even butter or salt or anything like that. Why don't you give some butter and salt? So he's talking with him like that. And then Sanatan Goswami is saying, oh, I've got nothing. Why are you demanding like that? Just accept whatever I offer. So he was having an argument with Krishna. So anyone else would say, what sort of person is that? He's arguing with the Supreme Personality. But Krishna was enjoying. He was enjoying. He was arguing back. Well, tomorrow you should bring the butter and bring the salt. I can eat this thing. Oh, you just eat that I'm offering to you. So there's arguing going on. But out of love, he's arguing out of love. So the pure devotees are like that. So Krishna enjoys, but we can't imitate. We think we can also be like that, chastise Krishna, argue with Krishna. No, we haven't got that spontaneous love yet. Krishna reciprocates with that. So those who are appointed administrators, they're devotees, but they're... Now, Prabhupada explains very nicely here that... but they have at the same... They are devotees, but at the same time, they have desire for sense gratification and material opulence. And he puts it this way. The demigods and also many devotees on this planet also, he says, the demigods and many devotees on this planet want to remain in the material as devotees but take advantage of material happiness. So this is called mishra, mixed. When Lord Kapiladev was giving instruction to his mother, Devahuti, Bhakti Yoga Bhuvidu, Margi Bhamani Bhavyate, Svabhava Guru Margi, Pumsabhu Vidyate. He said there's many different types of devotee, and there's pure devotee, pure devotional service, and then there's mixed. Actually, devotional service is pure, but the consciousness of the devotees is mixed. Abhishandai hoim sam dhamma matsai sam big binidik bhava mahi kuryat satam. Then he begins to describe the different types of the kamini aharam urisya harasmi vatalapanam yajidistam pitak bhava sattvik. He describes the devotees who are in sattva guna. They're more in the sattva guna. And then other devotees in the raja guna. Other devotees affected by the positions. In devotional service, have bigger positions, get famous. I want to be the famous devotee. I want to be glorified. Oh, you are such a nice devotee. Oh, he likes to hear that. You are the best devotee. Oh, yes, I agree. He likes to hear that. He likes to hear the praises. Very attached to the result of his activities in devotional service, becomes unhappy when he doesn't get the result. So this is more the devotee in the mode of passion. In the mode of goodness, in the mode of goodness, the devotee, they try to get free from suffering. They try to be situated in peacefulness. They don't want to be unpeaceful. So this is a high level, but it's still not pure yet because you're thinking of yourself. Whereas the pure devotees are just thinking of Krishna and are thinking of others. So these devotees are mixed, or they're mixed, affected. Their consciousness is mixed, still by the effects of the three gunas. So Prabhupada puts it very nicely here. The devotees, the demigods, they are devotees, of course. And Krishna responds with them. They have desires for material enjoyment. He gives them so much material enjoyment, more than they could ever want. He fulfills their desire. But he's not, ultimately, he's not completely satisfied with it. They are not pure. Just like I am serving you. You know, I say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hey, can you give me a $100,000 loan because I want to do a few things. Oh, no, you can't give? Oh, what type of devotee you are. You're not devotee. Such a devotee is a very good devotee when he gets what he wants. But asvisjava padaratam pinashtama, just like Lord Chaitanya says, if you handle me roughly by your embrace, make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, for you're always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. This is Lord Chaitanya's. Lord Chaitanya gave us this Shikshastakam. Everything is there in the Shikshastakam. I know many of my godbrothers actually give seminars. I know Satchinandan Swami gives seminars on Shikshastakam over many days. Just one verse, next verse, next verse. Everything is there. All that actually is needed for coming to the topmost levels of devotional service is there in the eight stanzas of Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam. He didn't. That's all he left. He was the greatest pundit before he was known as Nimai Pandit. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could have given so many writings, but he said he gave to his disciples, you do the writing. Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami, Raghunath Das, Gopal Bhatta, like that. He said, you go to the Vrindavan, you find all the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, you excavate all that, make nice there, and then you write many books, Bhakti Shastras. Bhakti Shastra. You write many books on the process of devotional. And he personally, especially, instructed Rupa Goswami in the Prayag for 10 days continuously. Sanat Goswami instructed in Varanasi for like 30 days. Or maybe it was 2 months. I don't know, it was 2 months. For 2 months. 2 months, Sanat Goswami. Lord Chaitanya personally was instructing about all the different levels of bhakti and all the different. And he said, you write books on the worship of the Lord in the deity, just like Hari Bhakti Vilas, Rupa Goswami, all the process, all these, you know, all these different ways of coming to the topmost levels. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what one should follow. He gave that instruction to his disciples. You write these books, but he himself only left that. So the topmost level is completely surrendered. I give love because I just give the love. I'm not giving love because I expect something back. The topmost person, even in the material world, I think even the materialists understand this. Who is more your friend? Who is actually the one with real affection and love? Your friends, you know, they're your friends because you. I remember when we were students, we all used to. We actually, there was one student we didn't like him very much. He was a moody fellow, and we didn't like him. But everyone was his friend because he was the only one that had a car. None of us had car, so he was the only one with a car. So then all of a sudden, we're his friend. But actually, behind his back, everyone used to talk against him. So what type of friend is that? And then when the car was broken or he didn't have a car, we don't want to talk with you anymore. So he's your friend or is your, what is he? You are friend to him? You're friend to him when you can get something. Isn't it? That is someone who has love, always wants to do something. You know, if the wife has love for the husband has love for the wife, they want to do things. If the husband asks something from the wife asks something, oh yes, I will do. Not that, oh, can you please do that? No, do it yourself. I'm not doing anything. That's not love. Love means you want to do something for them. That's love. Not just sentimental, oh, I love you, and then you know, next week I hate you. It can be like that. Sometimes we see man and woman, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then 3 months later, I hate you, get away, divorce. That's not love. They think it's all emotional on a superficial level. They think they get some infatuation. It's all emotional, sensual, mental, or so many things caught up there. And they think they call it love. They don't know any better. And so they live like that. And then you know, what seemed good just a few months ago, now it is like the poison. That's happiness. Yada grechana bandecha sukha monama. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. It's like in the beginning it seems like nectar, but after a short time it is like the bitter poison. The bitter poison. This is the happiness in the mode of passion. And of course in the mode of ignorance, it's suffering in the beginning and suffering all along and suffering in the end also. So we should not misunderstand what is the topmost position of love of God. And nor should we think that there are, and Prabhupada says here, there are demigods and many devotees on this planet who want to remain in the material as devotees and take advantage of material happiness. So there are many who think that is the topmost level of being a devotee. You know, I've got nice life in the world. I've got everything. Everything is good. My house is good. Wife, husband good. Children good. Job good. School good. Friends good. I'm chanting. I'm doing perfection. I've reached the topmost perfection. That is the topmost. But that is not yet. Because these other things, the world is temporary. You can't, you know, you can't have your house forever. When you die, you think you can take your house with you? There's an old saying, you're born with nothing and you'll die with nothing. You're born without any clothes and then die, they'll take the clothes off you anyway. redress you. May have been your favorite jumper or whatever like that. No, they'll take it off and redress you. So you have nothing, right? Born with nothing, die with nothing. So anything in between is just temporary. So even we're devotees, I mean the materialists, they're totally an illusion. You know, Prabhupada says here, for the non-devotees, Krishna looks after everyone. He is the Paramatma, he is in the heart, he is arranging what their desires, but he's not very satisfied. He doesn't manifest very much to them. It is, and Prabhupada says, just like, you can't call it partiality because they are like the barren ground. Even though the Lord wants to give them the mercy and wants to take them back home, back to God, they are not responding. They have got the other desires. They have got the other desires. Just like if you throw the seed on the barren ground. The seed is good, but the ground is barren. Nothing will happen with the seed. The ground needs the water, but they just want to remain barren. You see, so for the non-devotee, what can be done? All right, they very stubbornly want to just be separate from Krishna, enjoying the world, and not forget Krishna. They don't want to know anything about the spiritual life. There's been so many in the world like that. They want to know its spiritual life. They're just concerned with the material life. So Krishna, all right, you want to be, then I'll arrange. Even though Krishna's arranging, they don't appreciate anything. They just think that by their activity they're getting everything. But actually Krishna is arranging everything for them. But then there's a devotee, but then there's different levels of the devotee. So Krishna is very inclined to any devotee, but he's not ultimately satisfied with the materialistic devotee. And that is not the topmost. But some, of course, as I said, you know, you have your material enjoyment and you have your spiritual life. You may think, now I'm experiencing everything. But one has not yet experienced the high, high taste of pure, loving emotion and experience in total surrender to Krishna. That is a much higher level, a little more subtle. For those who are not very advanced, it may be a little imperceivable. But certainly when we see very, very advanced devotees, we somehow or other can get their association. We see something, we get affected, even though we think we have everything. We have our nice house, our nice job, like that, we're doing, we're chanting. But all of a sudden, when great devotees, like when Prabhupada came, You know, many had so many things in the world, they were also devoted, but then they experienced, just being in his presence, something that was beyond what they had, and was actually, they could perceive, and perceive it was on a higher level. So therefore, God was in them, and they are surrendered to God, and they, you know, even though one is not a high devotee, still some a perception and experience can be there. So therefore, we're very fortunate, and as Prabhupada says here, these very advanced devotees, it's that sometimes the Lord comes himself to help those in the material world, just like he did with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And other times, he said, but mainly, actually Prabhupada said, but mainly he sends his representatives. He's represented the very, very high nishkama devotees, here Prabhupada explained, nishkama, without any desire. That this devotee is not at, how does Prabhupada put it? He's not attracted to the material, nor is he adverse to it. If something is there to be used in Krishna's service, he'll use it in Krishna's service. See, with the Mayavadi, he's practicing austerity, he's detaching himself, and he's not involving himself in anything of the material world. If he's actually very strict, he's not involving himself. But the pure, of those who are very, very advanced, they're in the world, and they're taking, you know, there's a proper used to sometimes show like that. He said that the impersonal, they're pushing everything. But the very great devotees, they're just taking everything, but not for themselves, for spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, now we have so many temples around the world, I travel around from temple to temple, and they put me in nice rooms and things like that, but I'm not attached to it. I don't know, you know, even though they are doing in my name as the guru, actually it's all for Krishna. I don't claim any proprietorship over anything. Nothing is mine. It's all Krishna's. And Krishna gives us something to use in the meantime in his service. So Prabhupada was always in that, with that attitude, surrender. So we can accept things. It's called yukta vairagya. And very great devotees, they can accept the whole world in the service of Krishna. Of course, we beginning devotees, we accept things in the service of Krishna, but we have to be a bit cautious also, because we're accepting in the name of serving Krishna, but sometimes we're accepting for our own sense gratification and not in the service of Krishna. So we have to be a little careful how we accept things, and try to, as much as possible, use those things in the service of Krishna. The pure devotee, there's not any thought of not using in the service of Krishna. We have to be careful. The principle is, we take things in the world, we use in the service of Krishna, and we have to be a bit careful lest we get entangled with our own desires as far as that thing. But the pure devotee doesn't have any self-desires, all for the service of Krishna. So he can, if someone offers him the whole world, he can take that whole world, offer it to Krishna. And he doesn't become entangled, doesn't become affected by that. Doesn't become affected. The beginning devotees have to be a bit cautious. They may be offered so many things, may become a little affected. So therefore, in staying in the association of devotees, taking the advice of advanced devotees, they make sure they maintain their wholesome, pure consciousness as far as using that in the service of Krishna. So, as Paramatma, of course, the Supreme Lord within everyone's heart, gives everyone a chance to take up the spiritual path, and everyone should try to take the opportunity. Everyone should try, because, you know, it doesn't come round so often. The chance for spiritual life. Most people are just engaged in material life. And then when the opportunity comes, we should try to, you know, and this is, God makes arrangement that you get opportunity. Maybe in your last life you perform some devotional service. So again, in this life you'll be able to take it up. So when the opportunity comes up, we should go ahead and proceed forward and use that. It's a golden opportunity. Don't let it pass you by, because who knows when it's going to come around again. May not come around again. The opportunity may not come around again in this life, and you'll miss the opportunity. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had a saying. He said that anything auspicious should be done immediately. Immediately. Don't say, later I will do it. Tomorrow, next week, 1 year from now, 10 years from now. Because who knows when that later will come? It may never come. Later may never come. So therefore, if some golden opportunity presents itself, we should take it up, especially spiritual life, and then absorb ourselves in it and continue it for our whole lives. This is the best part, actually. Continue it for our whole lives. On what level you continue, that will be the individual position, but you should be thinking like that. Let me continue it my whole life. Generally, people, they follow something for a short time and then they move on to something else. That's the general trend. Follow this, unless they have to do it by force, you know, but go to work or something like that. You have to go to work every day. You know, by force, you have to. But, I mean, generally, when they like to do things, they do that for a while and they move on to another thing. But spiritual life shouldn't be seen in that way, because spiritual life is an eternal activity. It is who we are. It is, we are the soul. We are connected with the Supreme. And therefore, that is intrinsic to us. It is natural. It is very natural. It is our original position. So now we've got an opportunity to take it up again. So when it comes, Savai Pung Saparo Damo Ahoitaki Apratiyata, and try to do it with a sincere heart, not motivated by trying to get yourself glorified as a very great devotee, or you know, trying to make a lot of money or something, or money can come, but you know, you can use it in the service of the Lord. But try to have a genuine, sincere heart about that. So ahoitaki apratiya yayatma suprasiddhi, without motivation and uninterrupted. Then the soul will be actually satisfied. The soul will be actually satisfied when you engage in your spiritual practices without mundane motivation and not interrupted all the time. Stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, sideways, backwards. I mean, better than nothing. But, just like if you're pushing a car. Now, all right, everyone push the car. They have to get it going, get it going. All right, stop. Pull it backwards. Go sideways over here. Push again. All right, stop. If you want to push start the car, you know, everyone knows. You push start the car, you get it going, you want to keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and boom, it starts. Right? And if you stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, you never get it started. Right? But, you know, once you start, you got to keep going. Just like Sangha, he's kept going all these years. Yeah. And he's still here. Somehow or other. So that should be the mentality, you know, keep it going your whole life. And if it can be, and with the mentality that you want to improve the quality of it also. Improve the quality of it. It's good to keep going your whole life, but you're improving the quality. The love has to be there. The love in the heart has to be developed. And the acharyas help us how to develop that love. Yeah. One thing is you can pray to Krishna, please help me to be more sincere, help me to be more engaged in devotion. You can pray to Krishna. And also there's other things you can follow as given by the acharyas to help us gain that sincerity and gain that pure love. And that's actually very natural. At the moment, we're in an unnatural position. All these material activities, we think we're get satisfied, but it's all temporary. Ultimately, it's illusion. So, if we come back to the spirituality and try to come to the topmost levels of it, because those levels, that platform, it will completely satisfy. Even if you've got so many material things, you're also a devotee, and you think that's the best. As I said before. That actually is not the highest yet. You may have a nice house, nice family, nice everything, good job, everything like that, and be a devotee, and you think, oh, I've got it all. But actually, no, you haven't got it all yet. You have to, when you develop pure love, without attachment to those, all right, you're doing your duty in the world, without attachment, of course you can be affectionate to your family and have love for the family, of course, but ultimately, as I said, ultimately, you know, you have to move on. Now you're with your family, the wife, the children, your friends, everything like that. But as you get older and older, all those things change. You know, your friends start to, now they're getting older, this one's just died, that one's just died, the other one, your wife may have died, husband may have died, children have moved on, who knows what they said. So who have you got? There's one poem that Prabhupada writes. It says that before I had so many loving, affectionate relationships, and now my father is gone, my grandfather's gone, my father's gone, mother's gone. You know, where are they all now? I'm just here by myself. They're like bubbles that come and they go. So if we're too attached on that level, then we'll be ultimately frustrated and dissatisfied. Don't be overly attached. You live in the world, but don't be overly attached. Just like there's a story of Narad Muni when he's speaking to King Prachinibhasha, and the king was very attached. So he used an example of someone else being very attached to highlight this to the king. And he's told the story of a King Puranjan who was really overly attached to his wife, the queen. He was the king and she was the queen. Everything she did, he had to do. If she walked over here, he walked over there. If she sat down, he sat down. When she ate, he ate. She went to bed, he went to bed. Right? She laughed, he laughed. This is overly attached. Can't do anything, you have to just follow like a shadow. But don't be overly attached to all these things. Ultimately, they'll all be gone. Temporarily, we have to do our duty, but ultimately, if we can come up to the topmost levels of love of Godhead, then that is actually the supreme perfection. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening to the class. I'll read this verse again. My Lord, you are not very much attached by the worship of the demigods who reign, for you worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as a super soul just to show your causeless mercy, and you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotees. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
Can you explain what happens a devotee who doesn't achieve perfection in his lifetime? Does he go to heaven, or does he take birth again on this planet?
Well, that depends on the individual. He may be elevated to the higher planetary system, to the heaven, to a demigod status, maybe, to continue on. Because there may be a devotee who's a devotee, but still has a lot of material desires, but was a good devotee. So Krishna fulfills his desire for a material activity in a very opulent, maybe he'll take him to the heaven, at the same time giving opportunity to advance spiritually. And generally it is said there are some devotees who are like that, who achieve that, but he said the more advanced devotees who don't reach the perfection yet, they have gone a long way, and so the Lord arranges in the next life that they're born in a devotee family. And from the very beginning of their lives, they practice devotional service, and in this way, they're very blessed. So they're considered even more advanced than the ones who go to heaven, even though they may be born in a devotee family. Maybe a devotee family doesn't have much as far as material facilities, but because they're born in a devotee family, they have devotional service. I would have said that you can read in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita all the different situations for devotees. Some who practice for a short time and some who practice for a long time. Of course, someone who has become 100%, then they don't come back again. They go back to Krishna, back home, back to Godhead. So it will depend on the individual, what their situation is in the next life. Certainly Krishna will arrange some continuation of their devotional service because they perform devotional service in this life. So in the next life he'll give opportunity again. Maybe in heaven, maybe back here. Some facility will be there for sure, definitely. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, so in this verse, we're describing that the pompous worship of the demigods, and he's not, Krishna's not very satisfied with that. Is it a different case for worship of the spiritual master on the Vyasa Puja or Srila Prabhupada?
Well, Well, that is the spiritual master is accepting on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that will be different for different disciples who are making the offering. You know, some disciples just want to make a show and come and make a grand offering to the guru, but their hearts are not so pure. So, you know, it's accepted, but then there is a disciple who maybe doesn't make such a big show, but the heart is very pure. So the spiritual master is more satisfied with that devotee than even the one who makes a big show of offering and everything like that. Just like there was that, just like Krishna. Krishna, when he went to Hastinapur, Duryodhana invited Krishna to his home. But Krishna preferred to go to the home of Vidura. Why? Because Vidura was a very humble devotee, but Duryodhana was a big king and everything like that, but his heart was not so. But Krishna preferred to go to the home of Vidura. So similarly, you know, individual disciples, it's what's in their heart is the main thing. So it's good to make the offering, but certainly the guru will be more satisfied with those who are very sincere, full of love and a high quality. And he's satisfied with all, but he's especially satisfied with those ones. Yes.
And we are sharing Krishna conscious philosophy with others. We also share our own experiences of realizations. By being conditioned soul, we have four defects.
So sorry, what did you say? What?
So being a conditioned soul, yeah. We have four defects.
Four defects. What did they?
Along with the philosophy, we share our realizations and our personal experiences. So, how do we know that the other person, it's good for them when we share?
You mean for others? You know, when we interact with them?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got defects and everything, that maybe our interaction with them is not so good for them. It's like that, yeah. Well, I mean to say, then. Yes, I mean, we've got our defects, but if you follow in the footsteps of great devotees and interact with people as they would interact with people, trying to put, you know, your way of seeing things or desires aside and try to be selfless, following the footsteps and then try to interact, just like when Prabhupada was present Krishna consciousness, we all saw how he presented it and we tried to follow that, because that way of presenting it was very pure, very, very pure. So then we may present it because we've got our own defects, and it may be our presentation may be mixed up with those defects, and what type of effect that's going to have on people will, you know, reflect that. So try as much as possible in your own practice and in your presentation of Krishna consciousness to follow in the footsteps of great devotees and see how they do it. Our hearts may be not completely pure yet, but if you just follow in the footsteps, and that's the advice and instruction given by the great devotees and advanced devotees, that just follow, and they also follow in the footsteps of the others. Everyone follows in the footsteps. Ultimately, Krishna is giving the position for everyone. So everyone's following in the footsteps of everybody else. And so that's the sure way of advancing yourself and also helping others with your interaction with them. So try to do it, seeing how others do it, and try to emulate that, how they spoke. And I mean, you can have your own, you know, there's your own personality and your own way of presenting. You have to use your intelligence how to present it nicely. But as far as possible, try to stick within that general kind of framework. You know, when we go out and just do something totally different, from our position, of course, when one's very advanced, they spontaneously can do it. But when our position, when we go out, is the presentation just from my own ego, false ego, or is it really a kind of a pure thing? That question will always be there. So then just to follow in the footsteps in the beginning and just present it. You can mix a little bit of your own personality and your presentation in it, but stay in the general guidelines, and then that will be very successful. Yes. Krishna what?
Krishna doesn't actually need our service.
No, yeah.
He's self-satisfied.
very much satisfied, yeah.
Yeah, Papa, I would say that Krishna doesn't actually need anyone's service.
No, but he gives everyone an opportunity. I mean, as Prabhupada, the Lord doesn't want any one of his innumerable sons to remain in the material world in the threefold miseries, perpetually suffering the pangs of birth, death, old age, disease. So, yes, okay, he's very satisfied with pure spontaneous love. But at the same time, he wants to help everyone. But he can only help one when as much as they want to be helped. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, Krishna responds accordingly, and therefore Prabhupada quoted this, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So so it's not that Krishna's dissatisfied to the point that he's just not going to try to help anyone. So even though we are mixed in our emotions and feelings as far as serving Krishna, then so Krishna will take it, but it's just that he's more satisfied with the topmost devotees. It's not that he doesn't accept it. Of course, for the non-devotees, he doesn't manifest. But he still helps them also on their level. He still helps them. I don't know if I'm answering your question, if that was your actual question. Was that your question? Kind of.
It's a contradiction on one hand.
Seemingly, yeah.
It's all that Krishna doesn't actually need anyone's service, yeah. Yet he's only satisfied with certain kinds of full surrender.
But he enjoys. Just like, I gave the example of the Prime Minister, who was, the big industrialist was waiting to have the appointment. He waited for hours, and the secretary kept telling me, oh, he's very busy right now, you can't see him in a little while. But then he's got everything. But when the industrialist poked his head in through the door, the Prime Minister just had his grandson on his back and he was going around on all fours playing with his grandson. So the Prime Minister doesn't need to play with his grandson as such, but he likes it. The Krishna doesn't need, he's fully, therefore this word, antaratma or atmarama, it means fully satisfied. And they're fully satisfied by themselves, but also enjoys. They're not reciprocating out of a need as such. There's not a need, but it's just extra. Extra reciprocation. But even if there's no one there, they're fully satisfied. But if someone's there, then they like to. Of course, Krishna's never alone, so there's always someone there. But still, I think we have to understand the point that he's fully satisfied. He doesn't need our service. So he can, and therefore, Krishna, or rather, Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. Arjuna, he had a battle to fight. He was a warrior. And, there was an army attacking. He didn't want to, and then when he saw everyone, he didn't want to fight. But then Krishna said that, no, you have to, because they're attacking and everything. You have to do your duty. So Arjuna's a good example that, what Prabhupada says is that Krishna could have done everything himself. He didn't need Arjuna. He said, time I am. Actually, all the soldiers will be killed. That is their destiny. So whether you fight or not, it doesn't really matter. But you fight and you get the glory. You understand? Krishna, God can do everything by himself. He doesn't need anything. But he likes to have his devotees do it and he likes to glorify his devotees. Oh, this devotee is so nice, that devotee is so nice. He likes it, although he doesn't need it. And the example of Arjuna is very, very nicely presented here by Prabhupada. Krishna didn't need Arjuna to bring the outcome of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Just by his glancing, he could have done that. Just by his thinking, he could have done that. Didn't even have to be there. Could have been somewhere else. He didn't need to be there. He didn't need to do it himself. The material energy could have done it. So he doesn't need anything. He certainly didn't need Arjuna. But then he wanted Arjuna because he wanted to glorify his devotee. Just like the father liked to see the son or the daughter do something. They don't need, but they like to see them do it. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. ki jai gaur premanandi hari hari guru.